Elder P.J. Walters from Milton Creek Primitive Baptist Church in Meadville, Mississippi, with text from Psalms chapter 133, verse 1.
Truly thankful to be back at Ackerman one more time. It's been a little while since we've been here. I guess a little while on the Lord's time, but a long time in our book. But if you'll turn with me this morning to Psalm chapter 133, considering the remarks that Brother David has made concerning showers of heavenly blessings, and considering that there is a place where Jesus sheds the oil of gladness on our heads, we can kind of make a comparison from Scripture using that blessed anointing oil with which our high priest was anointed with. We can make a comparison with that and the dew that distills on Mount Hermon. We look here and it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Now, it's been said before, I don't want to really take a whole lot of time this morning. I want to get out of the way so these other brethren can get to preaching. But it's been said before that unity is good, but unity at all costs is not good. No. You see, if you surrender truth, you know what you've done? If you compromise truth for unity, you've made a surrender is what you've done. We don't need to surrender the truth. I don't care how appealing whatever truth we might surrender might be to the masses. Whatever truth we might give up so that we might appear better to the masses, that's wrong.
That's right.
You know why that's wrong? Because we're to stand fast. Right. And we're to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, it's true. This is true too. You can contend for the faith to be contentious.
Yeah.
And that's wrong. But rather, we should pursue the bond of unity. I mean, we should rather pursue unity, not for contention's sake. You know, not in order to get into arguments with folks. I'm guilty of that. I know what that type of thing leads to. You know, and we don't need to be that way. We need to be peacemakers. Do you know why we need to be peacemakers? Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." All right, but anyway. So there's a lot in this first verse. Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 13. There are plenty of different marks in Hebrews chapter 13. We heard some about that this past weekend at Mount Gilead, about how there are several ministers believe that the Apostle Paul was the author of the epistle to the Hebrews. There's a lot of little points in it. One of the points is that he mentioned Timothy in a very loving way. And Paul was noted to have a very close relationship with Timothy like that. But anyway, there's other points as well. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but woe be unto me for that one. But anyway, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, "Let brotherly love continue."
Yeah.
All right, so if we're to pursue unity, how do we need to pursue it? In what manner? We need to pursue it in a loving way.
Yeah.
That's the, not in a contentious way, but in a loving way. That's the way that it needs to be pursued. But then David here in Psalm, back over in Psalm chapter 133, he goes on and he describes what it's like, what that unity in which the brethren dwell together, what it's like. He says, or what brethren dwelling together in unity is like. He says, "It is like the precious ointment upon the head." Now this ointment that he's talking about is that with which Aaron was anointed, with which the high priest would be anointed. "It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." Now you know, we have a high priest, and our high priest, he was anointed. He was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows.
Right.
Now, you notice that he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Do you know why he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows? How many times have I done said that? Three times? But anyway. The reason why is because he's our head. And we are his members. We are his people. We are his brethren. So he was anointed with the oil of gladness, he being our head, and it was done above his fellows, above his brethren. And whenever he was anointed, that anointing oil flows down from his head to his members, even down to the skirts of his garment, so that from the shoulders all the way down to the very bottoms of the feet, we find that blessed anointing that is poured upon the head of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you know, you can experience that when you dwell together in unity. Whenever there's dissonance, you know, have you all ever heard of consonants and dissonance? Dissonance isn't good. You know what dissonance is? Chaos. We don't need to dwell together in chaos. As a matter of fact, I don't think you could dwell together in chaos. That would be a contradiction. I'm sure that I've seen chaos. I've seen a mass of people in chaos. You can look at some of these riots and things that go on all over the world, in the United States, whatever country you want to pick, there's riots that go on in those countries from time to time. There's chaos there. Those people might be dwelling, but they're not together in that chaos. They're opposed in that chaos. But anyways, precious ointment that is upon His head. Jesus Christ being our head, Jesus Christ being our high priest, it's very befitting that David, speaking by the Spirit, would make this type of this. And you notice how it compares this oil of gladness with the dew of Hermon. Now the dew of Hermon, was also, we find it here, it was as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Now you notice it says mountains of Zion. It doesn't say Mount Zion. So I believe there might be a little bit of a distinction there. We have Mount Zion, which is a picture of heaven itself, but we can also perhaps look at the churches of God as the mountains of Zion. You know, church is a city that's set up on a hill which cannot be hid. And each one of these cities, that's kind of what we can look at them at. Each individual local church, the churches of God, we can look at those as individual mountains. And how much of a blessing that it is when He sends that dew that distills so well and waters that ground so blessedly. It's like that. It's nothing less rather than that blessed anointing that we experience because of who our head is and under who we have brought ourselves into, under who we have been brought into subjection, and under who we experience that blessing. You can't experience that blessing under the head of any other man. You can only experience that blessing, and you will only experience that blessing under your head, Jesus Christ. Now, I've heard that this dew of Hermon, I've read that it was a very thick dew. It was whenever you walked out into Mount Hermon, it was so thick, it was like a grand mist all the way around you. And there have been folks that have gone hiking up in those mountains or mountain climbing up in those mountains, and their tents and whatnot, whenever they would wake up in the next morning, it would be like just like a good rain shower had come through there because of how soaking that mist and that dew is. That's a glorious thing whenever that happens in the Lord's church. Have you ever been in a service where you've experienced that? That's one of the most... I can definitely say that's one of the most blessed events a child of God will ever experience. Because, now, I'm married. It's a blessing for me. I don't have my wedding ring on this morning because I'm a mechanic and I take it off sometimes whenever I'm working on vehicles and I forget to put it back on. But anyway, that aside, it's a blessing for me to be in the presence of my wife. There is no greater natural blessing in the universe for a man and a woman to dwell together in peace. And we're directed, we're instructed, we men are directed to dwell with our wives in peace and according to knowledge. We're not to speak bitterly towards them, and how blessed it is when heaven comes down, our souls to greet, and glory crowns the mercy seat, and we hear Jesus Christ whispering in that still small voice to our hearts that only He can talk to, that no other man can whisper to, and tell us that we're His, and that we are beloved, and that we are accepted in Him. Not because of anything that we've done, but because of who our husband is. How much of a blessing that is to experience that in the worship service. You know, the Apostle Paul, writing over in Ephesians chapter 3, he makes a little bit more remarks on this subject. I think it's in chapter 3. No, it's in chapter 4, I'm sorry. He says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Do y'all know what a vocation is? Well, I've heard of the Votech building out there. Well, yeah, that's a place where people go to learn things to have a job, Brother Larry, like you just said. That's what a vocation is. That's a calling. It's a job. Oh, that's something that you're supposed to do, wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what we should be endeavoring to do. And how do you do that? What did he say? He said, do it with lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, and forbearing one another in love. You want to pursue that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? Do you want that? Do these things. Pursue it with lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, and forbear one another in love. That's the ingredients to having that. You know, if you look towards one another in love, you know what you'll do? You'll esteem one another with more value than yourself.
That's right.
You'll value your brethren more than you value yourself. And we should have that attitude. Because you look at Jesus Christ, and He valued us enough to leave heaven and to come to this wretched place and this low ground of sin and sorrow. I don't know if any... I've heard some people have gotten sick of hearing that before. That's an apt description of where we live. I mean, it just is. But He came down here to bleed and die for wretched sinners. I want to ask y'all something about that real quick. Do y'all think that He tried to do that, or do y'all think He did that? It says He made intercession for the transgressors. It doesn't say that He tried to make intercession for the transgressors over in Isaiah chapter 53, but He made intercession for the transgressors. That made indicates an action that was accomplished. And it happened, and He did it, and that's the bottom line of it. And if He did such great things for us, if He gave us such an example, when He was reviled, yet He reviled not again, you know the only way that He could do that is if He had love, compassion, and understanding for the people that were around Him. We should be like that.
Amen.
Do you want to be more like that? Mm-hmm. I want you to know something. You can't do it by yourself.
Amen.
You need the help of God. Jesus said, without Me, you can do nothing. And He spoke of that particularly in a way concerning good works. Can we sin without Jesus? You bet you we can. We can sin, and as a matter of fact, without Jesus, that is the only thing we will ever do is sin. We need Jesus. You can go over there and you can read that context in John chapter 15 for yourselves about where He said that, without Me, ye can do nothing. He was talking about bearing good fruit. We can't do it without Jesus Christ. We need His help. We need His help to dwell together in unity. We need the blessing which issues down from Him who is our head. My prayer for this meeting, my prayer is the same as my prayer for all meetings, that we would experience that. That we would experience the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because what a blessing that is. It's such a blessing for brethren to dwell together in unity. And it's not just my prayer for this meeting here today, but it's my prayer for God's people every day. Not just on these days that we've set aside to worship God, but that we would always be at peace with one another. Not compromising the truth and not compromising love, but holding fast to those things and encouraging one another to do the same. I thank you for your kind attention. May the Lord richly bless you is my prayer.